Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're continuing the theme this week of taking a couple of key passages, three key passages we've been meditating on, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 1 we're on right now, and then we're going to get to Revelation chapter 1 hopefully tomorrow. And there's a theme that runs, a thread that runs through all three of them. You see, you get glimpses through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, through the inspiration of the authors of these letters that reveal to us the glory, majesty, beauty, and kingship and authority of Jesus. And it's critical for us to be able to grasp this dimension of who he is. Because when we do, our hope just accelerates. It gets bigger and bigger. I don't know how else to describe it. Because we see in him, on a human face, the glory of the Father, the glory of the Son, the glory that existed from all eternity, and the fundamental truth that human beings are being called by God. The mercy of God has come to the earth to awaken us out of darkness and to bring us into the glory that his Son possesses. He's now the heir. We talked about yesterday. So the passage here in Hebrews is where we're going to continue on today. I'm going to just read it again because it's quite short. And you just see the gold that is being revealed in just two or three verses at the very beginning of the letter. And it happens really throughout, but it's really special, the summary that he makes here, describing who Jesus is. And it's critical for us if we want to live with confidence and we want to receive all that Jesus is and all that he wants to show us about himself. And that's just not information. That is life-transforming information. That's stuff that will radically change you as you hear and believe the treasure that you possess as a child of God, as a disciple of Jesus, as a member of his church and his body and his people. Chapter 1, verse 1 and following. In many and various ways, God spoke of old to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by a son, whom he appointed the heir of all things. That's number one. Through whom he also created the ages. He's the heir and he's the creator of all things. Verse 3. He reflects the glory of God and bears the very stamp of his nature. He shares the very nature of God, upholding the universe by his word of power. All of creation came to be. All of creation is upheld by his word of command. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He was the one who dealt with sin. He broke the back of the devil's strategy, and he came to put away sin. He's the one now who sits with all power and authority at the right hand of God, and he's become as much superior to the angels as the name he has obtained is more excellent than theirs. Let's just build on that a little bit here. Time just flies on these shows. It's really a blessing. It's really great. When the Word of God is alive, when we're chewing on the Word of God together and receiving the help of the Holy Spirit, it's just a delight. And then when we're delighting, time flies. Seems to anyway. So yesterday we left off at a kind of a deeper look at he's the agent through which all things were made. He's the one. All things were made for him. All things were made through him. John's gospel in particular reminds us of that. And the third thing we're learning here from the writer of Hebrews, he's the very radiance of the glory of God. He reflects the glory of God. Now, always remember, we are a race of people that was made from glory and fell from glory. That's why he became one of us, to raise us to glory. Jesus is not merely illuminated by God. He shines forth the very glory of God because it's his essence, the core of who he is. Jesus even said at one point, to see me is to see the Father. Jesus came to reveal the Father, to reveal him as our Father. Number four, he's the exact imprint of the Father's nature, of God's nature. He's the very stamp of his nature, Hebrews 1:3 says. The exact imprint, engraving, precise representation. There's words to express it, but there's deep theological words that are in the creed that by God's grace has really helped the church to articulate it. He shares the very being of God. He is God from God. He is light from light. He is true God from true God. He's begotten, not made, and he's consubstantial with the Father. And now through him, all things were made. We declare it every Sunday. And if we're not careful, those words can just go right off us like water off a duck's back and go right by us as we recite it. I mean, those are big words. But what they're really saying fundamentally is, in a way that's so hard for us to express in words, Mary's son is one with God the Father from all eternity. Jesus Christ, from all eternity, the Son of God. I mean, everything originates from the relationship between the Father and the Son for all eternity, and the love between the Father and the Son, which is the presence of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. And God's saving plan isn't just to get us out of jail or to give us more information. He comes to transform us and unite us to him in a way that Peter would say, become partakers of the divine nature. Mind-blowing. The Holy Spirit wants to internalize that in us, to help us live with renewed minds, transformed ways of thinking about ourselves and about reality. And if we say yes to it and we pursue it with hunger, like beggars who just are starving, you're going to get it. He's going to give you the light. But if we're just busy, preoccupied with other priorities, he's not going to get in our way. He's not going to force it on us. The fifth description of Jesus here: he sustains the universe, upholding the universe by the word of his power. Jesus not only created the cosmos, he sustains it. The verb used there is carrying, bearing along, preserving toward its destiny. Jesus, it's all in the palm of his hands. All authority on heaven and earth has been given to him by the Father, and he's exercising it. Creation's not a machine that God wound up and then abandoned. It's in the hands of his Son. He sustains it, he governs it, he directs it. And in him, Colossians 1:17, it's a wonderful passage, in him all things hold together. All things hold together. I love that, because he's holding us together if we let him. Our whole life, no matter what's going on, remember what Paul said early in the week of the kinds of difficult circumstances that he's in. He said, we carry in earthen vessels. We are earthen vessels that live on a battlefield, but in us is a treasure. And the more we understand who Jesus is and what the Father has done through his beloved Son and the gift that he's given to us in him, the more we, like Paul, can rejoice in our sufferings. We can rejoice because we understand, just as Paul said, in 2 Corinthians, this is a slight momentary affliction which will become an eternal weight of glory beyond all compare. You say, well, what is that? What does it mean? Look at Jesus. Meditate on what we're talking about this week. Asking the Holy Spirit, begging the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus to make it come alive in your soul, to give you the grace to live again with a renewed mind. The universe persists because the Son of God wills it, and so does my existence. Number six, he made purification for sins. This is obviously his death on a cross. It's a priestly theme here. He made himself, he offered himself perfectly, that act of love on the cross by which he died for the sake of our salvation and to give to the Father what belongs to the Father. Obedience, total surrender. Never, never forget. It's beautifully stated in Philippians 2. He humbled himself by becoming obedient unto death, even death on a cross. And for this, God the Father has highly exalted him. He humbled himself. How? By becoming obedient. This is what the human heart, the fallen human heart, and the flesh absolutely hates, to have to obey. I don't want to obey anybody. My flesh doesn't want to obey anybody but me. Everybody wants to be a little God that's ruling its little kingdom, to be absolutely in charge of defining everything, reality, purpose, you name it. That's the battle that's in the human heart. And on the cross, Jesus demonstrated what he preached. There's nothing greater. There's nothing more important. There's nothing more valuable for a human being than to give to God what belongs to God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Not a little bit of your soul, not just a little bit of your time, a little bit of your mind, and a little bit of your strength. All. With everything you've got. And then watch what he does. Jesus is the priest. He's the high priest. He's the sacrifice. He's the meat eater. Everything in the Jewish liturgy, the Israelite people, the Jewish people, the Old Testament, it all pointed to, it was a type that pointed to the fulfilling. Jesus fulfills it all. Every sacrifice being offered to God, sacrifice of the goats and shedding of blood and all that was an anticipation of something. None of that was enough. None of that was what God the Father was really after. What God the Father really received was the perfect love of his Son, was the victory of his Son for our sake. Unlike temple sacrifices repeatedly offered, Christ is the one who accomplishes the definitive perfection. The cross, the atonement's all there. Christ's sacrifice is once for all and made sacramentally present in the Eucharist. This is why the Eucharist is so critical. Here in the book of Hebrews, in the letter of the Hebrews later, it says verse 9 and 12, he entered once and for all into the holy place, into the temple in heaven. He's the perfect sacrifice. And it's his offering, it's his sacrifice, it's his victory that's represented on every altar across the world where Mass is celebrated. We are put in touch with that very reality, that very act of love. It's what feeds us, it's what teaches us, it demonstrates to us who we're meant to be. I mean, it's just so full of mystery and wonder. Finally, number 7, he's enthroned at God's right hand. Again, verse 3. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. The catechism reminds us he was raised from the dead, and in his flesh and in his humanity, he entered into glory. And he sat down at the right hand of the Father, meaning all authority is given to the Son. He now is in charge of it all. The Father has given it to his Son. To sit at his right hand means royal authority, divine dignity, completing his priestly work. Psalm 110:1, sit at my right hand, the psalmist says from the Old Testament. It's exactly, Jesus fulfills that messianic psalm. Jesus reigns now as king, as high priest, as judge and intercessor. He's the Lord of all, friends. And again, as we close, this is the one, Jesus, the Father's gift to us for our salvation, the Father's gift to us for relationship. We're the bride of Christ. We're the church. He's preparing in us. He has in his mind a prepared bride to give to his Son at the end of human history. That's where it ends, in a marriage. And that love. We've got one more day. Hope you can join me tomorrow. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.